This is the South Florida Tech Podcast, a weekly show where we bring you the awesome, innovative people building our South Florida tech community. Each week, we'll introduce to you one of the Sunshine State's top business, startup, or tech leaders. Learn about who they are, what they do, and have some fun conversation along the way. Our podcast sponsor is Emerge Americas. Each year, global enterprises, disruptive technology, and elite startups are highlighted at Emerge's premier tech event, Connecting the Americas. The event is held in Miami Beach, which to date has hosted organizations from over 40 countries and featured over 250 speakers from around the world. Emerge Americas is transforming Miami's tech hub by connecting entrepreneurs, investors, leading business executives, and decision makers.
I would love to introduce our guest for today, Clayton Idle. He is one of the spearheads of the South Florida Business and Wealth magazine. He serves as the managing director. He's a South Florida native. He has a bachelor's degree from FSU. I think I've heard of that school. They're big in football sometimes.
Not this year.
And in addition to that, he is also been with the Miami Dolphins and Sun Life Stadium, the Honda Classic. He's one of those guys who is a super connector and has so many folks throughout the South Florida region he's connected together, especially business leaders and technology leaders. And most importantly, when he's not on the clock, he has a wonderful family at home, wife Lindsay, and they have three awesome children. But Clayton, thank you so much for taking the time today to come on with us and talk a little bit about what you do and a little bit about who you are.
Absolutely. No, Joe, thank you so much for having me, and really looking forward to hopefully giving some good insight of who I am and what I do on the podcast today.
Give us like the elevator speech on Clayton and what you do.
So, yeah, I mean, again, South Florida native, absolutely love South Florida, been here my whole life. Like you mentioned in my bio, I reside in Delray Beach, moved here about 10 years ago, grew up in the northern part of Palm Beach County. And, it's interesting, after I graduated from Florida State, I really thought I was going to have a career in real estate development and banking. So I went to work for a private community bank, which is actually no longer around. They got acquired by TD Bank in 2010, started out in their real estate acquisition department for about 2.5 years. And then the economy started to churn a little bit in 2007. And I went to their lending department and I was a commercial lender relationship manager for a couple of years. And unfortunately, our bank was heading in the wrong direction. And I was at a wedding in Miami, of all places, and I bumped into a friend of mine, and he just started working for the Miami Dolphins. And he said, Clayton, Mike D, who was the CEO at the time, just came from the Boston Red Sox and was really excited about growing the Palm Beach market, especially in the premium seating market and, shared suites and private suites, stuff like that. Said, I think you'd be a really good fit. You're a Palm Beach County native, you know a lot of people up there. And so one thing led to another. And next thing I know, I was running a team, corporate development for the Miami Dolphins. And it was one of those pinch myself type positions, because growing up in South Florida was always a huge, and still am, it's tough at times, but still am a very big Miami Dolphins fan. So I really enjoyed my time there and was there for a few years, and was using the Honda Classic PGA Tour event to entertain a lot of our clients. And so I was basically living up there for a week every year and got real friendly with the executive team. And they were growing, as Joe, you probably know, by leaps and bounds back in around 2003 when they moved up from Broward County up to Palm Beach County. And they still are every single year growing and growing. So they needed help with growing their corporate partnerships. And so I made the jump over there and was there for a few years. And then I got a call out of the blue from one of my old suite holders at the Miami Dolphins saying that his dear friend just started a new publication catered to executives in South Florida called South Florida Business and Wealth. And he needed someone to lead the team, put structure in place and grow revenues. So 5 years later, here we are.
That sounds like a pretty amazing journey. And I actually have my professional start in sports as well, not the NFL, but the NHL, which being a Floridian hockey fan is really cool if you're a Tampa fan, because they won their second Stanley Cup this year, but really tough if you're a Florida Panther fan. Can you share a little bit about that journey? I mean, those are all really interesting roles. You obviously went to school thinking you would do one thing. Now you're the managing director of South Florida Business and Wealth. And it, you know, was that planned? How important was your network? How intentional versus open to opportunity have you been in crafting your path so far?
Yeah, so all great questions. No, 100% not planned. I thought I was going to be a career banker, whether it was helping out in the real estate department or in the lending department. And, you know, the economy hit and the Great Recession hit hard. And, I was watching people that were in my company or in banking for 20, 30 years, all of a sudden being let go or being forced into early retirement. And, you know, I said, I'm young. I can always get back into this if I want to. And I took the advice actually of one of my old former bosses who said, you know what, go do something fun and live out your dream. You know, banking will be here for you. You've been in the industry 5 years. You've got some good contacts. So that's when I went over to sports and really, really enjoyed growing revenues and developing sales teams. And, you know, in sports, you just make the best contacts, because especially when you're dealing with the premium seating, one CEO after the next, one business owner, one different executive of all different types of industries. So your database, we're no longer in the 90s. Absolutely explodes with really, really good people. And it was all about connections from every step of the way that has led me to where I am today. So to your point, never burning a bridge, making great connections, and you never know when you're going to get the call for the next great opportunity.
Yeah, I think that brings you really to what you do with South Florida Business and Wealth. And a huge part of what you do is connect people, especially those who are some of the top tier leaders in business and technology throughout South Florida. And I imagine the last year has been kind of interesting as far as that goes, because you were doing a lot of in-person events, but how have you stayed ahead of the game during this time and during the last couple of years, as far as the digital disruption is concerned? And on top of that, of course, you know, you've done a lot in that arena as far as events and programming goes. So maybe you can hit on that as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So I remember it like it was yesterday. It was March 11th. We just got done doing one of our big signature events. We do 5 signature events a year that are Academy Award style, cocktail reception, 3-course dinner, honoring all different types of wonderful executives in South Florida. This one happened to be our Excellence in Human Resources Awards. And it was down at Gulfstream Park. And afterwards, Gary Press, who's our chairman, CEO, and I went down to go grab a bite to eat and a drink at Yard House. And we're watching an NBA game. And all of a sudden, it said the NBA has postponed their season indefinitely for the rest of the year due to COVID-19. And I looked over and I was like, oh my goodness, this is getting really serious. So I went home that night, thought about it, barely slept, woke up the next morning and realized, wow, a good portion of our revenues comes from events and event sponsorships, and we can't do events anymore. We had to quickly pivot. So we had an internal strategy meeting with all of our managers, and we discussed about, okay, so what are we going to do? How are we going to survive and thrive? And I tell you what, it was probably the best blessing in disguise, because, you know, it's one of those things where you're always so busy servicing your clients and, you know, going from the next event to the next event. And we have a publication that we put out every single month. Well, we have several publications, but there's two that I run that. So you're constantly on a hamster wheel and you don't never have time to clean up your own internal stuff. So we really focused on a lot of things that we wanted to get better at. For example, we pivoted from a weekly e-newsletter that goes out to 40,000 executives to an everyday newsletter to try to keep up, share as much pertinent information with people, share feel-good stories of what was happening during a global pandemic. And wow, did that really work out well. We saw open rates that we've never seen before, click-through rates that we've never seen before, more traffic going to our websites. So it was just a really beautiful thing. And we were able to share a lot of positive news and hopefully keep good energy and vibes out in the South Florida business community. For our events, so again, I haven't done an in-person event since March 11th, but we have been extremely active doing virtual events similar to this. Some are panel discussions, some are one-to-one interviews with a prominent South Florida-based CEO, some are more roundtable style events, and it's really kept a lot of our partners and supporters extremely happy because, again, Joe, you hit on it. We're all about making really good connections. And yes, we were used to doing that in in-person events, but we're still able to do that in a very effective way through our publication, our digital assets, and through our new virtual event series.
So that, you know, that's super interesting. I mean, taking a short-term look at what's happened since COVID is like a story within itself. But I also think looking at South Florida as a whole over the last few years, I've been here for 7 years, living in the bubble of like startups, innovation, and ed tech, a lot has changed. And so, you know, you kind of talked about a few things, which is iterating, looking internally, pivoting, making things better. What's kind of like your high level viewpoint on the South Florida business environment? You know, you've been involved from sports to banking to real estate to, you know, now South Florida business and wealth. What's kind of your take on what's evolved in the last few years, and where do you think it's going, and you know, where are the opportunities or areas of most growth potentially that are needed?
Yeah, I mean, those are all good questions. I mean, we could go in a lot of different directions with that, but over the last few years, hyper growth. I mean, South Florida is the it place in my opinion. You know, every time I turn on the news or I read an article, it's another hedge fund, it's another financial firm, it's another insurance company, it's another, I mean, there's so many different industries and sectors, manufacturing of all things that you don't even think about, clean manufacturing, that are coming down from the Midwest, especially from the Northeast, even Canada, and relocating to South Florida because we have such a great tax environment. The cost of living is still somewhat affordable or very affordable depending on where you're coming from. And look at my background. I mean, this is not South Florida, but I mean, we have sunshine, we have beaches, we have amazing restaurants, great shopping, amazing golf courses. We have the Everglades. I mean, there's so much that Florida has to offer that I think what used to be kind of a best kept secret or was known as kind of the place to retire no longer is that at all. I mean, I remember growing up in Palm Beach Gardens, Jupiter area, and I could zip to Miami in an hour easily. Now I pray to get there in an hour and a half from Delray Beach, and that's on a good day. So it's just, you can tell, I mean, people are coming here, they're excited. Industries, you see a lot in finance, wealth management coming down here. Construction is booming. Every time I talk to one of our clients or someone that owns a construction company, they can't build it fast enough. They can't find good skilled labor fast enough to continue to pump out these projects, especially in single family homes and multifamily. Tech, look at you guys. Kudos to what your organizations are doing. I mean, I love the fact that people now are starting to put South Florida in the conversation with some of these other big tech hubs across the nation. It's a super exciting time for several industries. And of course, hospitality and retail is getting crushed right now. There's no doubt about it, but we'll bounce back. We always do. It's been the backbone of South Florida for several years and we'll get back. So I'm not too worried about it.
Yeah, I agree.
So, we got a lot going on throughout everything that you guys have been doing throughout a lot of the conversations, a lot of the emails. But what I'm really excited about is the fact that we have some new digital series events to look forward to that you guys are putting together. And I know there's one coming up tomorrow, but could you give an overview of what the series is about and then obviously give like a little pitch tomorrow as well?
That's awesome. I love all the digital events. I remember in the, I feel like now you can attend everything, or there's like, there's so many to choose from. But I remember in the beginning, man, did my kids interrupt a few of them. I was just, you know, when I'm on a panel. So now we have to lock the doors and keep the dog somewhere else. But that's great. And that sounds like an awesome panel. And I love that you're getting someone from like who's in tech and innovation and someone who's in the restaurant industry. So like, you know, showing all of those perspectives, because it's really interesting to see like how people are getting through this, how they're making use of PPP, what they're like, how they've pivoted to for a new future, you know, what their fresh perspectives are. So yeah, looking forward to that. That sounds like a great event.
Oh, well, thank you. And you mentioned too, you know, talking about kids. So I was on another podcast I guess it's been a couple months now. It feels like a few weeks, but my kids were still virtual learning from home. So imagine trying to do that in your home office. And my six-year-old kept popping in saying, "Daddy, what are you doing? Can I join you?" And then after about 20 seconds, she's like, "Oh, this is boring. I'm gonna get back to playing."
So that's kind of reaction. Yeah, that's kind of interesting. I mean, what do you, I don't know how old your kids are, but how old are your kids and what do they, you know, you've got a full house at home, everyone's working, the kids are there, they're learning and playing. What do they think that you do? You know, like when they jump in on that, are they like, what is this?
They have no clue what I do. I guess I've tried to explain a few times. My son just cares if I'm doing bike rides and buying him G.I. Joes and monster trucks and, you know, baseballs and stuff like that. My kids, I have three kids. I have a almost six-year-old daughter, almost four-year-old son, and another daughter that just turned one last week. So full house. Ever since the pandemic hit, it has just been total chaos here in a fun way. You know, I guess the silver lining in all this is I've got to spend more time with my children this year than I ever have. And I've loved every second of it. They are just amazing, amazing children. And I can take no credit to that. That's all my wife's doing. So I have an amazing wife. She's also a working mom. I don't know how she does it. She picks up, she drops off, she does really well in her position. And so she's the glue to our family for sure.
So going off of that, what do you guys do in your free time? What do you guys do on the weekends? Do you have any hobbies yourself? Do you have any family hobbies? Is there a given thing that, you know, if you were doing on the weekend that, you know, we would run into you out and about on? Like, give us a little bit in the insight and the fun life of Clayton the dad.
Joe, what's free time?
Yeah, I know. It's just
a it's this thing.
No, I'm just giving you a hard time. We don't have a lot of free time, but if we do have free time, no, we, my wife and I love exercising. So I bike rides, which I told you alluded to earlier for my son, literally I have to almost have like a schedule that between my oldest daughter and oldest son, they absolutely love it when we do bike rides. So we'll go bike ride to the beach, and we have different areas we like to explore on the bikes. We love the beach. We moved to a bigger house right before the pandemic hit. And so we did some stuff to the backyard that the kids absolutely enjoy. So we spent a lot of time in the pool and barbecuing and watching TV and playing soccer and all that fun stuff. But we're just an active family. You know, we've always said we live in paradise. We're not going to be the family that just sits inside all day. So of course we let them enjoy their iPads and their movies and technology and whatnot. But, you know, we're always trying to take them, whether it's, like I said, the beach, bike riding, to a sporting event or family time. You know, I'm lucky enough that my parents live about 45 minutes away. My in-laws live about 10 minutes away. So, you know, playing with friends in the neighborhood, we're an active bunch.
That's awesome. That sounds like an amazing setup. I can also totally relate. Our four-year-old just turned four on Sunday. He got his first bike. We're like bad working parents who like introduced him to the bike a little late, but he won't get off it now. So it's awesome. Totally. And I think for us too, like being Finnish Canadian, the novelty of living in paradise is definitely not worn off. So we are like equally committed to being outside. Even when it's 100 Fahrenheit, we're like, this is awesome.
My wife's mother, or excuse me, grandma and dad live in St. Louis, and so we go every other year to visit. And one year we went in April, and my oldest daughter said, "Daddy, why is it so cold here? I can't feel my nose, and my fingers hurt, and my lips hurt. Why would someone live in this?" And I said, "Well, this is how most of America is. You just happen to live in South Florida, where it's like 80 degrees or 90 degrees and sunny just about every day. So you should really appreciate where you live."
Yeah, it's good. Gotta get into the cold to remind ourselves sometimes about how good we have it. So we like to kind of, before we wrap up, we like to always end with a little rapid fire short questions. So I have a few questions for you. The first is, what is currently the book on your nightstand? Currently reading.
I have the Bible.
Very nice. A classic.
Yeah. Probably not a too creative an answer, but I'm just being honest.
Yep. No, that's great. What is your most productive time of day?
5:30 to 6:30 a.m.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And the time you go to bed?
I always try to watch these heat playoff and these sporting events, but I usually fall asleep about 10 o'clock, 10:30.
Tough loss last night, despite the previous miracle. What about the time that you wake up?
About 5:30. I've realized that if I sleep in as good as it feels, I don't really get any time to myself. So that's my hour of just me.
Oh, I hear that. What is your favorite podcast?
Well, this one, of course.
Okay, we like that answer, right, Joe? Do you have a motto or a mantra or a saying that you live by or go back to always?
Yeah, I would say short and sweet, never give up. It's, it's something that it's so simple, but it's so true. I have learned that when times get tough, you're having a rough day, rough week, rough month, you just push through, you never give up, and it's amazing how good things happen.
There we go. Sorry, I had to take myself off of mute there again. Oh man, if there was one annoying thing that we've all learned through COVID, it's that these Zoom meetings do never really get exactly perfectly right. But I wanted to end with one final question, and that's, what word of advice would you have to aspiring tech leaders in South Florida with all of your wisdom and insight and intellect? You know, what's one thing you can share out there that would be helpful to people looking to build their careers here?
Yeah, you know, I think we touched on it a little bit earlier, but, you know, never burn a bridge. Be active in the community. I mean, there was times where I would get involved with organizations or networking events, and sometimes I'd think to myself, you know, what am I doing? This isn't really the best fit for what I'm going after. And the next thing I know, I would just develop such amazing relationships with so many great people. You help me out. Could this be a good fit for what you're doing? And it's so much fun because there's so many amazing people out there. So just listening a lot, finding out people's personal stories. I'm personally fascinated because I feel like South Florida has so many entrepreneurs, especially, you know, now and getting more in the tech industry, how they got from point A to point B. Cause it's not like we live in a major city where everyone goes and works for Coca-Cola or GE or something like that. I mean, everyone's kind of doing their own thing and putting a little twist on it to make a lot of money. So I would just say, just network a lot and never burn bridges and just enjoy the journey, because it's you never know what the next day is going to bring. But if you have a positive attitude, good things will happen.
I love it, man. Just living the dream. And that's a real South Florida saying too. And if you're listening on our podcast later, Clayton's got the whole beach view back on his Zoom as we're having this conversation. It's a very living the dream type of view. So I'll round this out here. And for those that want to get involved with Palm Beach Tech, I do want to give a shout out to South Florida Business and Wealth, who have been a great partner for us. Wanted to thank Clayton for his partnership, of course. For those that want to get involved, you can go to palmbeachtech.org. And with that, again, thank you, Joe, and thank you, Clayton, for being on the podcast with us here today. And hope you guys have a great rest of your week and a very happy Wednesday.
Thank you so much. Joe, really appreciate your support. Joe, pleasure meeting you. And thanks again for having me.
All right. Have a good night, guys. Bye.
We'd like to thank our producing sponsor, MediaOps. They're the premier global media platform for technical communities with brands such as DevOps.com, Security Boulevard, Container Journal, and Digital Anarchist. DevOps.com, their primary brand, attracts and engages a thriving online community of technology professionals around the world. It is the largest collection of original content relating to DevOps on the web today, featuring up-to-the-minute news, highlighted stories, blogs, and more.